John chapter 1 is wonderful, isn't it? Turn with me to 1 Timothy, book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. As you know, I intended to speak to you from Romans 9, but Saturday morning I was literally awakened very early with this scripture running through my mind. And it was just on and on. I couldn't get it out of my head, so I began to look at it. We've looked at this many times together, over a dozen times, this one verse. This is one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Many people know John 3:16, or think they know. You can quote it. This verse, 1 Timothy 3:16, is amazing. Look at it with me. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen or observed, watched of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Without controversy, it begins. Now, to man, this is the greatest controversy in the history of the world. It was, it is, and ever shall be a controversy. A controversy is when everyone cannot agree on something, or differing opinions. While our Lord was on the earth, it says several times, they all differed concerning Him. Men and women have had different opinions as to who Jesus of Nazareth is. They have different opinions, have had, they do now, and ever shall be, until someday everyone will know clearly and see Him as He is and know with certainty who He is. God manifest in the flesh. It is not controversial among God's people, is it? Wesley read that to us. It says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, He hath declared Him. And He told His disciples, he that hath seen Me hath seen the Father, didn't He? He told the Pharisees, He told everyone, if you believe not that I am, now you know. God's people know. That's the name that Jehovah gave to Moses to go to the people to tell them who it was that sent him, right? That's what Jesus Christ said. If you believe not that I am, you will die in your sins. So this is the heart and soul of the truth here, this verse. This is the truth in one verse. Without controversy, who Christ is, what He came to do, for whom, where He is now, and who are His people, is without controversy in the Bible. Okay? And though the truth is indeed controversial to man and different people, like our Lord was standing before Pilate, remember? He was standing in front of Pilate. And Pilate said, what is truth? Our Lord didn't answer him. But He told His disciples, didn't He? He said, I am the truth. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the light. They knew what He was saying. It says, great is the mystery. It's been a mystery that's been kept hid. And God still hides these things from man, the wise and the prudent. Mankind thinks he's wise. Romans 1 says, professing himself to be wise, he's what? You've read it. And become a fool. The fool hath said no God. And a fool doesn't believe Jesus Christ is God. Why? Because he is. Without controversy. And I'm not here to convince or try to I can't convince anybody of anything. Right? I'm not here to try to explain God or try to get you in the notion of believing God. No, sir. I'm here to declare him. Our Lord didn't come to this earth to try to get people to believe on him. God doesn't try anything. God does what he does. God wills things and it happens. God purposes things and they happen. We can't let God do anything. If we do, he's not God. God lets us do everything according to his will. It fulfills his will. All right, I'm way ahead of myself. It says, without controversy, no controversy among God's people who Jesus Christ is. One time, the Lord asked his disciples whom he revealed himself to. You don't know me. 1 Corinthians 2 says, you don't know the things of a man unless that man reveals himself to you, right? You don't know what I'm thinking. All right. Ron, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 1 million. Go ahead. You're just going to guess, aren't you? You're just going to imagine something, aren't you? But if I whisper it to you and tell you, you'll not want it. You won't unless I tell you. You can't know God unless he reveals himself to you. Can you find out God, the scripture says? No. By searching. Again, he has to reveal himself to you. He's a person. God's not a concept. God's not simply a spirit. He's a person. When God created man, he said, let us. Us? And there's more than one God? No. There's one God. But three persons. Wait a minute. You said there's one God, but there's three persons. I didn't say that. Scripture said that. These three are one. And he said, let us make man in our image. And Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three, but one. Equal in essence, equal in power, equally God. Jesus is God Almighty. Jesus of Nazareth, that one who walked this earth. It said he was manifest in the flesh, revealed in the flesh. That means he was before he came here. That means he existed before he came here. The Jehovah Witnesses claim, they believe that he was created. He was a created being. And when he came here, he did not exist before he came here. But he was created, given a body, and that's when he began to exist. Scripture says, a body hast thou prepared me. Proverbs 8 says of Jesus Christ, I was with him before the worlds were made. I was by him. The one he took delight in. You know these things. It's without controversy. Without controversy. This is life eternal. That they might know thee, the only true God. Islam, the God of Islam, not God. The Hindus, not God. They have many. Some animals are their God. The Buddhists, not God. Catholics, not God. Free will Southern Baptist religion, not the God of the Bible. Not gathered up. If Jesus Christ cannot do what he will with whom he will, if men have to let him into their heart, he's not God. This Bible doesn't say things like that. It says things like this, the door being shut. And his disciples were on the inside. He said, I am the door. I am the way. And no man, no human being cometh unto God, knows God, gets to God, will be with God, understands God, believes God, but by me. Who said that? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. It's without controversy to God's people. Without controversy. God was manifest in the flesh. Not just the Son of God. God. Charles Wesley. There was another Charles Wesley. And he's written many hymns we sing in this book. And he was a preacher of the gospel. A good preacher. Well, this Charles Wesley read the same thing that the other Charles Wesley believed. John 1. He said, the world was made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made, right? He came unto his own creatures. He's the creator. And he came to his creatures and they knew him not, received him not. Didn't they say that? But it says of his people, we beheld his glory. We knew him. John said, I didn't know him. Did John say that in that same chapter? He said, I didn't know him. But when the Holy Spirit landed on him and told me, this is he, now I know him. He said, he that came after me is before me. And then after that he said, he was before me. Who was born first? John the Baptist or Jesus of Nazareth? John the Baptist. John was 9 months older. Wait a minute. John said, he was before me. He's the I am. The one without beginning, without ending. Our Lord said, I'm the beginning, I'm the ending. I am that I am. God was manifest in the flesh. This is a mystery. I'm not trying to explain it. I'm just declaring it. Who he is. Isaiah 7, verse 14 says, a virgin shall conceive. And many of you, if not most, know why it must have been a virgin. Mary's not the mother of God. The child that she had is her God. The mother was holding the baby, but really it was her Heavenly Father. You explain that. You can't. I like what Charles Spurgeon, he said, we can't explain God because he's so infinitely above us. We can only tell you what this book says and no more. And we're not trying to get finite minds to understand him. You can't. You just believe. Believe. And then he shows you some things. But Spurgeon said this, if you have a God you can understand, that means he's just like you. He's no better than you. He's no more powerful than you. He's just like you, and he has to try to get you to do things. I don't need a God that's trying things. I need a God who's reigning and ruling over everything. I need a God who is God. Leading me, guiding me, directing me, controlling me, providing for me, protecting me, saving me, keeping me, teaching me. A God. Because I am a little child. I'm almost 70, but I'm still a little child. Without him, I can do nothing. You and I can say, tomorrow I'm going to do this. You, God willing, you will. We have a dear brother, Joe Terrell. He and I were born the same year, 55. Grew up in the same church together. Both preachers of the gospel. Pastors of churches. Joe was a smart man, wasn't he? Fine man. He woke up one morning, went out, somebody killed him. You don't know what's going to happen to you tomorrow. Who killed him? God says, I kill. I make a lie. Didn't he? That's the God I need. That's the God that Joe trusted in. That's the God who Joe's with right now. And thankful that it happened. Very thankful. Otherwise, there's no hope, no peace, no answers, no comfort, no refuge, no knowledge, no understanding, no nothing. This world is chaos. It's just spinning out of control, and nobody has any control over anything. I need God. And Jesus Christ is God. And He came here. Men did to Him exactly what God determined before to be done. That's what Peter preached at Pentecost, didn't he? He said, "You with wicked hands have taken and crucified the Lord of glory, but you did what God determined before to be done, or you couldn't have done it." They did what God purposed to do, what God preached in Genesis 3:15 and 16. What God said would happen 3,500 years later. It happened exactly like He said it would. It must, or He's not God. He said, "I've spoken it, I'll do it. I've purposed it, I'll bring it to pass." He said, "All souls are mine." Our Lord said in John 17, "You've given Him power over all flesh. Aren't you glad?" The world doesn't like that. The world doesn't believe that. The world thinks man's in control of his own destiny. That's why they don't want God. They don't want someone else to control their destiny. I do. I thought I was in control of my destiny for a while, and I just about killed myself. But God. God was manifest in the flesh. Why? Why did He come down here? This is what made me think of this. I began to think about Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the God of the universe coming to this earth and walking with men. And for 3.5 years, His disciples heard Him and spoke to Him and were spoken to by Him and touched Him. They said, "We touched Him. We handled Him." John said it later, didn't he? 1 John 1. He said, "We handled God. We had our hands on God." Would you like to ask God something? Would you like to see God? No man hath, can. God's a spirit. Hold on. He did walk this earth. He came to this earth for 3.5 years. Why? He had a reason. He had a purpose. Scripture says, "Known unto God all His work from the beginning of the world." That He purposed to come here in the fullness of time. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to do what? Redeem. Save. Look across the page here at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at, this is a verse 15 that we all love. Chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying. And worthy of all acceptation. All human beings ought to sit up and pay attention to this. Because we all need saving. You know that? Say, "I don't need saving, preacher." Well, I didn't say that. God did. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Are you a sinner? Well, I'm not as bad at it. Then He didn't come for you. You don't need Him. He sure doesn't need you. Are you a sinner? What's that mean? I mean, God who's angry with the wicked every day. That's what the Bible said. And Christ came to save somebody from sin. Save them from the world. This world is not our Savior. Mother Earth, don't try to save Mother Earth. She can't save you, and you can't save her. Our Savior is Jesus Christ. This is a mystery, he said, in verse 16 of our text. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. Must be revealed on it, of godliness. What does godliness mean? Anything and everything has to do with the kingdom of God. Who God is. How do we get to God? How do we know God? The Word of God. the salvation of God, the truth of God, the Godness. Great is the mystery, but it's not a mystery to God's people. That is, not completely a mystery. Ephesians 1, he says, He's abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery. Colossians 1, 26. He made known unto us the mystery to the church. That's what he said. That God was manifest in the flesh. Look at the next thing. Six things he talks about. It says he was justified in the Spirit. Justified in the Spirit. Turn with me to Matthew 3:16. Matthew 3:16. You know, I went through the scriptures looking at chapters 3:16 and so many passages. Most people just can quote John 3:16. Well, there are many scriptures. And Matthew 3:16, I looked at this and this is amazing. It's wonderful. It says there he was justified in the Spirit, meaning that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, declared him to be the just one. The just one. The Holy One of Israel. That's what the Old Testament talks. He's coming, the Holy One of Israel. The just one. See, there's not a just... Here's what the Scripture said. There's not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But now 2,000 years ago, there was a man that walked this earth who was just. Just one. It's the only one to ever live. Completely just, without sin. Holy. Harmless. Separate from sinner. Who is it? God. God. Look at Matthew 3:16. Jesus. And he was baptized. Went up straightway out of the water. Came out of the water. Remember he said in John 3 to Nicodemus, who thought he knew something. He was a doctor of theology. Doctor of divinity. And our Lord said to him, you don't know anything. But he said, except you be born of water and the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Didn't it? Well, here he is, being baptized. He came up out of the water. He came out of the water, but you know what? He is the water. He is the water of life. He was formed in a mother's belly in water like you and I are, but hold on a minute. She was formed in him. The water of the Word. He said to that woman at the well. Remember, there's a whole message right here in Matthew 3:16. See that? He said to the woman at the well who came to draw water, said, she said to Jesus, you don't have anything to draw water with. She didn't know him, Sally. He hadn't come to draw water, he came to draw her. And when it was over, she dropped her water pot. She's not thinking about water anymore. She had received the water of life, which is what? Not what? Christ said, I am the water of life. He came up straightway out of the water. And lo, verse 16, the heavens were opened unto him. I want you to notice with me, those who are listening. It says, unto him, upon him. And verse 17 says, in him. Unto, upon, and in him. The heavens were opened unto him. Where have you heard that before, John, David? Psalm 24? Who shall ascend unto the holy hill of the Lord? He that clean hand, a pure heart, has never lifted up his soul unto vanity or sworn deceitfully. Perfect and holy as God Almighty. As righteous as God. Psalm 24. Who shall go into heaven? Who's God going to let into heaven? Who? Clean hands. Perfectly sinless, spotless hands. Have never sinned, done one thing evil. A pure heart. Never lifted up his soul unto vanity. Never gone after anything in this world. Vanity of vanity. All flesh is vanity. And never sworn deceitfully. Always told the truth. Always out of his mouth. Perfect truth out of your mouth. Who can go in there? Then the next verse says, open the gates. The next verse says, open the gates. Someone's coming in. Who? King of glory. The heavens were open unto him. He goes in. How are we going to get there? In him. Through him. By him. In him. Like a woman is pregnant. Wherever she goes, the baby goes. Whoever accepts her, accepts the baby. If you're in Christ, you're accepted in the blood. You're in God. You're in the kingdom. You have eternal life. You in Christ, Christ in you. And hope you don't. Look at the next line in Matthew 3:16. The heavens were opened unto him. And he, John, saw the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, descending like a dove and lighting upon him. The Spirit of God came down upon him. Why? He's anointing him. He's showing all then and now, this is he. This is the Christ. Anointed means Christ. Christ means anointed. Okay? You hear preachers all the time say, I have the anointing. Receive the anointing. They're all liars. The Spirit of God landed on Jesus Christ. John saw it. You and I see this. We read this. Who's the Christ? They came to John in John 1. You read it with me. And they said, are you the Christ? He denied. He said, no, I am not. Well, who are you? Are you a great prophet? He said, I know. Maybe you're that prophet. No. I'm not that prophet. Jesus Christ is that prophet. Well, who are you, John? Tell us who you are. Tell us your credentials. Tell us. I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. I must decrease. He must increase. There's standing one among you, he said, whom you don't know. Three words. He it is. Oh, what words are in that? He it is. What is? Name something. Christ is all. Three words. You understand the mystery of the universe in these three words. Christ is all. Who's Christ? Jesus. He it is. What is? Truth? Way? Love? Mercy? Grace? Knowledge? Understanding? Name something. Life? Death? He it is. It's in his hands. He is not in our hands. One time God put himself in man's hands and man did what God determined for him to do. And before that and since then, never in man's hands. It's in his hand. The God in whose hands our breath is and all our ways. I'm trying to glorify this morning. And you are too. So look at the next line in Matthew 3:16. Lighting upon him. You know, he's going to come like lightning in the earth. In verse 17, lo, a voice from heaven. Hold on, man. God hadn't spoken in 400 years. God hadn't spoke at this time. God had not spoken in 400 years. God never spoke out loud to all human beings. Never. He spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. And Hebrews 1 says he's spoken unto us in these last days by his Son. But God out loud said, for everybody at that time to hear him, said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God never said that about anybody else, ever. In another place he said, hear him. That's Matthew 3:16 and 17. Go back to our text. Let me hurry. You know, I preached this on the radio 4, 5, or 6 times in 15 minutes. Oh, my. It says in verse 16, he was seen of angels, justified in the Spirit. That means the Spirit of God declared him to be the just one, the holy one, the righteous one, the one sent by God to justify his people. The only just one. He must justify us. We are justified. We are declared holy and righteous through Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness. There is no other. And the Spirit of God teaches all His people that. All right, the next thing says He was seen of angels. You see that? Seen of angels. Observed, watched, beheld. Beheld by angel. 1 Peter 1, verse 12. I love this verse. It says, which things the angels desire to look into. He was observed, He was watched, He was beheld by angels at creation. Now, the angels were created being, long before God made anything. It was God and nothing else. Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the account is not given, but God created angels. They're created beings, right? Satan is a fallen angel. Jesus Christ created him. And it says in Romans 9, the Creator has complete, utter power over His creation. The potter over the clay. I told you I was going to preach that Wednesday. I don't know. We don't know, do we? I intend to. But that's what Romans 9 said. And Christ is that. Satan is a created being. He's under the absolute control of Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad about that. You've seen, but the angels beheld, after they were created, they beheld Jesus Christ create the heavens and the earth. They watched it. Can you imagine? You know, the universe, the heavens declares glory. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day others speak. The oceans, the mountains, the rivers, the streams, the skies, the stars, the sun, the moon. You know what it all says? God is. And it says to God's people, Christ is the bright and morning star. It says to them, Jesus Christ is God. They see His hand and everything. Trees, He's the tree of life. Water, He's the water of life. Sun, He's the sun of righteousness. Just name something. He's all. Well, the angels beheld as Jesus Christ created it all. And all, weren't they? Can you imagine? All right, then they watched Him on earth. I don't know. We don't know when Jesus Christ took a body. He assumed a bodily image all through the Old Testament. He came and appeared to human beings. Proverbs 8 tells us that. And He came down on earth and He took some clay, some dust, and water, maybe from His mouth. There's nothing unclean about His mouth. But He made this clay and He started forming this creature. What the angel, what's He doing? He wasn't giving an account of His sin. And they all looked at, are you listening to this? And He made this creature and they said, it looks just like Him. It's just a statue. It's just clay. It doesn't have life. But it looks just like Him. It's an image of Him. That's right. And then He took the face of that clay creature. He says, breathed into Him. He became a living soul. Man didn't come from a monkey. Man became one. Man didn't come from a single cell creature. He's gone back to that. He's a worm. That's what the Scripture says. But Christ breathed into that creature that looked like Him, that image of Him, and He became a man. Male and female created Him in the image of Jesus Christ. Holy, upright, beautiful. And the angels. Look what He's done. Scene of angels. Observe. And then they saw Him go throughout the Old Testament, these two creatures that He made and did everything He did for them, shake their fists in His face. Said, we will not have you reign over us. We want to be God. We have our free will. We have free will just like you. We're God just like you. No, you're not either. And they failed. They did what the angels saw a third of the heavenly host do, rebel against God. The angels saw these two creatures do that to Jesus Christ. They kept his name. And they thought, well, he's just going to wipe them out. No. They beheld as Jesus Christ walked in the garden that day. Adam, Eve, where are you? He knew where they were. He's revealing to them what they've done. And now he's going to reveal himself to them, what he's going to do. They have created a mess. Did this take God by surprise? Uh-uh. Ordained by God. I don't understand. I don't either. But I believe. All right? The angels beheld. They saw him. He was seen of angels. They saw him walking in the cool of the day. And they saw him talking to these two creatures that rebelled against him like a third of the heavenly host. Satan and all his, they saw, and they saw him cast those angels into a pit reserved for everlasting fire. But not these two creatures. They saw him talking to these two creatures. Why is he doing that? What is this? And if somebody would say it, they would say, this is mercy is what this is. God is sovereign. God is absolute power over all things. God is creator. But God is merciful. What's that mean? Not getting what you deserve. I don't know what that concept is. Right there it is. He's not going to kill these two creatures. Instead of, are you with me? They watched him as he took a lamb and slit its throat. They'd never seen death. They didn't know what death was. They'd never seen blood. They didn't know blood was coursing through their body. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And they saw Jesus Christ take a lamb right before the eyes of these two creatures and slit its throat and pour out that blood and skin that lamb, strip that lamb of its covering and put it on these two sinful, rebellious creatures. What's this? What's he doing? He's revealing himself. He's the Lamb of God. He's revealing what he is going to... Don't holler, preacher. No, the whole world needs to hear this. John stood up and said, behold, the Lamb of God. That does what? Oh, he's going to give you a new car. He's going to give you a new job. He wants to get... No, he's going to take away the sin of the world. Not just Jew, but Gentile. That everybody that needs a Lamb. That's why he came. That's the reason Jesus Christ came. 6,000 years ago in the garden, he said, this is why I'm coming to earth 3,500 years later. To be the Lamb, the substitute for sinners. That God ought to wipe them all out. But no, God is merciful. God is love. No, God doesn't love everybody. It's a miracle he loves anybody. Nobody came to his own, they received him not. He came to his creatures, they spit in his face. He said, I didn't do it. If you were there, you'd have done it. There's people that hate what I'm preaching. Hate it. They hated him. They killed him. They killed every prophet that came preaching this. They killed every apostle that came preaching this. What? Mercy. Grace. Salvation for the undeserving. We don't like this. Go away. Leave us alone. If he leaves you alone, you'll die in your sins. This is why Jesus Christ came. Not to make people healthy and wealthy. To save us from our sins. Oh, that's old fashioned. Yes, it's as old as God. This is how this mess called planet Earth began. Sin. It's the source of all our troubles, all our problems, death. Our Lord said, die and you shall die. You'll die and everybody and everything around you. But life came. Jesus Christ came. He said, I am come that they might have life. He said, we're going to kill you. He said, you can't. No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down. Why? To give life by His death. I don't understand. I don't either. Except it's substitution. Like that lamb in the garden. Substitution. Either your soul's going to die, or somebody die for you. And there's only one that can do it. Jesus Christ. My angels saw this. Do you see this? Do you see why Jesus Christ came? Do you see who He is? Do you see yourself? Adam and Eve saw themselves. There was no controversy to them. The angels, no controversy to the angels. That if God doesn't do something, we're goners. He did. And when Christ was hanging on the cross, Patrick, you know what he said when he was hanging on that cross? He said, I've done all I can do now. It's up. No! It is finished. Three words. It is finished. What? Salvation of His people. Then there's nothing for me to do. That's exactly right. You like this? Do you really? Most people don't. Most people hate this. There was a time I didn't believe it. The next thing says He preached unto the Gentiles. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, hated this. He hated it. He hated the truth. He hated Jesus. He hated all this talk about Jesus being the only way, the only righteousness. He said, I've got one. I've got a righteousness. Didn't he, John? I'll have you know I've kept the law. There was an Olympic contestant, diver. She diving, and maybe you read about it. She hit the board and in her first attempt, and her score was zero. That's a good thing, isn't it? You and I need to realize we're all a bunch of zeros. I have you know I'm worth something. No, you're a zero. This church is not a place where everybody's something. This is a place where everybody's nothing. Where Jesus Christ is everything. If it wasn't for Him, it's just another creature cumbering the ground. But that woman, she hit the board with her feet, and boy, doesn't that really matter? That really matters, isn't it? You need a gold medal, man, oh man. But she hit the board with her feet, and they scored a zero, and she's out of the running and all that. And she said, did you read it? She said, I believe God. She said, I don't know why He let this happen. I've served Him faithfully all year long. That's what she said. I've been true and faithful to Him all these years. I don't know why He let this happen. That woman doesn't know God. She wouldn't be giving her life to earn a little piece of metal. Christ would be her life. She'd be sitting in a worship service like you and I, worshiping Christ. Oh, man. Preached unto the Gentile. Why did I say all that? Because Saul of Tarsus didn't believe it, and I didn't either. And I scoffed at. My dad was a preacher for 65 years. My dad was a pastor. And I scoffed at it. You know, I sat cross-legged. I was in Hinduism and studied Eastern religions and all that. I thought I knew something. You know, smarter than my parents, smarter than the Bible, smarter than Jesus Christ. That's what I thought. And I told my friends that. And Elizabeth, here I am preaching it. You told me back then you'd be standing up behind a pulpit apologizing for everything you ever said, everything you ever did, renouncing everything you are and have and done is worthless, and preaching and declaring Jesus Christ is everything. I would have laughed you to scorn. I would have laughed at your face. Not me.
But God.
Now I'm laughing. That's what Psalm 126 said. When the Lord turned our captivity, we were like them that dreamed, and our mouths were filled with laughter. Oh, the Lord has done great things for us. Preached unto the Gentiles. You and I, Gentiles are the worst. Romans 1 describes Gentiles. Wallowing in filth. United States is a Gentile nation, just wallowing in sin. Just a filthy, vile, wicked place. And the Lord is so merciful, He sends the gospel to preach to these despicable creatures. Amazing. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What I've been doing, what the world calls foolishness, my occupation, what the world does, they think the world can do without all preachers. I agree, most of them. And they think what we're saying is a bunch of foolishness. It's not. You have to call Jesus Christ a liar, you see? I believe Jesus Christ. I think men are liars. Do you? By the grace of God, I believe Jesus Christ. I don't believe anyone else. And there was a time I didn't. Time is the opposite. Then why do you believe what you... That's what I'm trying to say. I had nothing to do with this. I didn't want it. I wasn't seeking it. But God. Believed on in the world. Do you believe what I've been preaching and reading, what you've been reading and what I've been trying to declare so feebly this morning? Do you believe this? The world doesn't. This is so rare. What I've been saying about God and about Christ, about man, is just rejected. The vast majority of human beings think this is just utter foolishness. Do you believe this? Kathy Trent, do you believe it? Todd Trent? Teresa? David? Polly? Patrick? Dan? Do you? Jill? Do you really? Melanie? Abigail? Do you? Olivia? Do you believe this? Well, it's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. And if you do, you need to confess Him before this idolatrous generation. Yes, you do. How? Why did Jesus Christ be baptized? I don't really know. But He did. Confessing us. Preached unto the Gentile, believed on in the world, and here's what the last line says, received up into glory. Where is Jesus Christ now? Sitting on the circle of the earth. The world's not flat. And the world's not in control of itself. It's under the absolute control of Jesus Christ. And He's sitting on it. He's sitting on the right hand of the Majesty on high, expecting His enemies, Scripture said, be made His footstool. And He's coming back again. He came the first time. That's without controversy. And it's a great controversy among many that He's coming again. Where's the promise of His coming, they said to Peter in 2 Peter 3. Where is it? It's everywhere. It's all through this book. He said to His disciples, when you see all these things, when you see all these things clearly coming to pass, and we do know, we've looked at these things clearly. When you see these things, He's near. He's coming. He's coming. Who's He coming for? Those He came for the first time. Those He died for on the cross. Those the Scripture says that God gave unto Him. And those that He gives faith and repentance, and those that confess Him. That's who He's coming back for. And He's going to confess them to the angels He's going to say to the angels who beheld all of this, he's going to say, here they are. Here they all are. Look what I've done. Isn't this the greatest story ever told? Okay, John, you come lead us.